The joy of the Lord is my strength. Can we say God is good even in the trials? Austin's comment, if the church is not a haven of rest for those who are hurting, have we missed it? Have we missed it? Where should one go to find hope? Where should one go to find healing, if not the people of God? Thank you, numbers of you, for reaching out, letting me know that you're praying. I've been praying a lot. I believe that God has a word for us this morning. We had a big week. My brother-in-law Ryan had reached out and wondered if I wanted to tap out because of the week that we had. And I said, I think we'll be all right. I believe God had laid something on my heart to share. After we got back from the hymn sing last Sunday night, my phone rang as I was walking in the house. My sister from Indianapolis called, and she's crying on the other end. She says, my mom's dying in the hospital in Goshen, her birth mom. She wanted to come, wondered if she could stay at her house. She made it to the hospital that night, early morning, and then she came to my place about 2 a.m. with her friend from the program that she's been in. Sure, you can stay here. Lord, give us grace to walk what's ahead. My folks were out of town in West Virginia, and so it was my responsibility to walk with my sister for a couple of days. We went to the hospital on Monday and met with the doctor, my sister, my brother. My older sister was with us as well. The doctor explained that it's just a matter of making a decision at this point to remove life support. Her body's in rough shape. Everything stops. What's important? To walk through an experience like that, you've had it as well. Some of you have. You know what those experiences are like. Before we had met with the doctor, my folks had understood, at least from what I had seen, I'd never been through a situation like this, but from what I had seen, it looked like life and death. It looked like this was the end, and so they turned around and made a trip home, made it home Monday night late. They took over on Tuesday. My younger brother and sister, our family by adoption, and they had a half-sister in Michigan that they went and picked up Monday afternoon. And so here's the three siblings together, meeting in the hospital. And the thing that blessed me the most is the Spirit of God. We talked about the Holy Spirit today. He's transformed my sister, Anna. She's not the same person. She's not the same person. She walked into that hospital room. Her birth mom's boyfriend was sitting there having a very, very hard time. And she says, it's all right. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame yourself. It's going to be okay. She had such words of peace and calm. She was able to lead her brother and sister to process the pain of their life, to forgive their mom. Praise God. 8 months ago, she says she's 8 months clean, 8 months sober. She loves the Lord more than she could have understood was possible. It doesn't take away her questions. Why? Why couldn't I talk to my mom? Why couldn't I talk to her over Christmas when I came home? Because she didn't have peace. God didn't let her. It could have been a downfall for her. Back into drugs. She chose to honor God in that decision and not to contact her birth mom. It was 8 months. Does God in his sovereignty allow my sister to walk a path of victory? Even? It's hard. It's a hard question to ask. Even removing a life from this earth? A temptation? God have mercy. I read the scriptures. God says, I gave Egypt for your inheritance. Talking about the children of Israel. They weren't any less important. They were souls of men and women. But yet God chose and gave a people. The sovereignty of God, we question it. How does it happen, Lord? It's been a blessed week. We had a funeral service Thursday. The gospel message was preached clearly. There were numerous in attendance that that needed to hear, that God brought for this special time, I believe. God speaking to my brother. Their sister would not have acknowledged God, that she doesn't talk to God. She doesn't have a relationship with him. And so I believe God's sowed a lot of seeds and that it will bear fruit even through a tough week, a time of facing death in the face and recognizing the giver of life and the peace that he gives for his children. God's not finished yet. So I had three areas that God was giving me. And this will fit my personality. Some of you will appreciate it. Others will be annoyed maybe. But I'm going with the sampler this morning, right? Go to the restaurant, order the sampler platter. So we've got three topics. I'm just going to quick touch on the two that I had. And then I'm going to go into the one that I felt like God gave me to share. So we're getting the sampler right off the start here. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. It's been something that's been impacting me. Do we know that we're in a fight? Church, do we know we're in a fight? We must know it to stand up and face our opponent. This is the championship bout. This is the final fight. We're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities, Ephesians says, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. We're in the fight. Do you know it? Therefore, James 4:7, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Revelation talks about the fight. And the dragon, Satan, was wroth with the woman, Israel, and he went to make war with her remnant, the remnant of her seed, those which keep the commandments of God, believers, Christians, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan makes war with those that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What is your testimony? They love not their lives unto death. A final verse, Luke 10:18, and he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but that your name is written in heaven. Rejoice, Christian, your name is written in heaven. Prayer of intercession, priestly prayer, kingly prayer. God has been speaking a lot of a need to pray and that there's power in prayer. And we heard that today. Todd, thank you for sharing that you know the prayers of God's people touched Keaton in a special way. Romans 8:34 talks about Jesus interceding for us. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to intercede for each one of us. Prayer, John 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We pray in Jesus' name. God hears our prayers. James talks about confession. Speaking to one another, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's why we ask for prayer. That's why we confess our sins and ask for prayer, that we may be healed, that our lives would be changed. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If two of you are gathered or shall agree on earth as touching anything that you ask, it will be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two are gathered, two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. That's Matthew 18. Pray, grab a brother, pray, grab a sister, pray. It's powerful. If touching anything if you agree. Thank you, Vic, for spending some time in prayer with me. Thank you, Jaden, for spending some time in prayer. Two gathered together, agreeing, God's will be done. And finally, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is the greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Verses that were used at Men of Valor yesterday felt like a confirmation for what God wanted to share today. Do you love God? I would have done a quick assessment and said, I think we love God. I think we love God. How are you loving him? What about the second? Do you love your neighbor? How are you loving him? How are you loving your neighbor? There was a message I had listened to some time back that talked about loving with shoes on. It sounded practical. Loving with shoes on. Going about serving people. Touching lives. It's not a recliner kind of love where you sit back. It's lace up your shoes and let's go. I'm going to ask Tim to play a song. As I was thinking of, do I love my neighbor? When I was about 19 years old, I played guitar with Laverne Cross. He had a little bluegrass band, and I didn't play with him much, but this is a song that they sang that comes back to me now when I think of loving my neighbor.
There are many people who will say they're Christians, and they live like Christians on the Sabbath day. But come Monday morning till the coming Sunday, they will fight their neighbor all along the way.
Oh, if you don't love God,
if you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him, then you don't love your neighbor
and you
don't love God. In the Holy Bible, in the book of Matthew, read the 18th chapter in the 21st verse. Jesus plainly tells us that we must have mercy. There's a special warning in the 35th verse.
Oh, you don't love God.
If you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him, then you don't love your neighbor
and you
don't love God. Salvation in a home on high. If you say you love him while you hate your neighbor, then you don't have religion, you just told a lie.
Oh, you don't love God.
If you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him, then you don't love your neighbor
and you
don't love God.
Oh, you don't love God.
If you don't love your neighbor, if you gossip about him, if you never have mercy, if he gets into trouble and you don't try to help him, then you don't love your neighbor
and you
don't love God. Then you don't love your neighbor
and you
don't love God.
Thank you, Tim. 1 John 4:20, if a man says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. He that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him: he who loves God loves his brother also. So our question we have to ask is there hatred in your heart? Is there unforgiveness? Somebody that you need to forgive? For you to properly love God, for me to properly love God, we need to have given forgiveness, to extended that to others. Have you written the check for their offense? Do they still owe you something? Jesus paid for all our sins. How can we not pay for others' sins who have wronged us? Forgive them. Forgive them. Love them, even if it's your enemy. Even if it's your enemy. Someone who is against you, love them. If you turn to Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48. Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love ye, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Bless them. Bless them. Speak words of blessing over your enemy. Do not curse them back. Do good to them, it says in verse 44. Do good to them. Take time out of your day. Take them a special something. Let them know that you're not harboring any ill will, that you desire good for them. Show them by a good gift, by serving them in some way. And of course, pray. Pray for them. Let them be on your mind. Turn that bitterness into prayers for them. Let God do his transforming work. Do you love God? Do you love your neighbor? Lord, I love you, but it's hard to love my neighbor. What if they reject me? Their lives are too messy for me to get involved in. Plus, I've been hurt before. I don't want to be hurt again. It's interesting. The Lord talks about rewards. Hebrews 11:6, we're in Hebrews. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. Are you motivated by the rewards that God says he has in store? Rewards are not man's idea. We know the power of rewards to offer our children a benefit. If they do right, if they do good, they get rewarded for it. An employer working with his workers pays them according to their skills, according to their responsibilities. Reward is God's system. He speaks to us about it in his word. That he will reward us for the good we do in the body, each according to the faithfulness that we exercise with the talents and resources that he's entrusted to us. Matthew 25 is the parable of the talents, speaks on this reward. When he comes, he will reward you for your faithfulness. He will reward you for the kindness that you've done. Love others. Seems like our culture likes to have special meals. How do we do inviting the poor who are not our friends or family? Luke 12:12-14 says, when you make a dinner, do not call your friends, nor your brethren, nor your kinsmen, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also bid you again and repay you. And repay you when you make a feast. But call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you shall be blessed, for they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. This is God's word, Luke 14. He says there's a reward for you at the resurrection if you serve the poor. Does that motivate us? Should it motivate us? I think we are people of motivation, often by reward. It's seen maybe most through our work experiences. How should we love? How should we love our neighbors? Who should we help? Who is my neighbor? That's a great question. It's a biblical question. Now we can sound really, really spiritual. We're asking biblical questions. Lord, who's my neighbor? Who should I help? A certain lawyer tried to tempt Jesus, asking him, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus' reply gives us the teaching of the Good Samaritan. Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Remember the Good Samaritan journeying? His plans that day were altered. He encountered a victim on the road. What would have you done? What would have I done? What have you done? What have you done when you've seen someone in need on the road? There's plenty of times that this parable comes to my mind in my short 40 years of life. I've asked myself, should I stop? Should I help? Or maybe you've seen something you really didn't want to see, and we trick ourselves into believing it was not really what we saw. There was no problem. Everything's okay. For me, helping someone in need hasn't resulted in that person making a commitment to Christ. It's not this great experience. But I believe that it's a seed that God willing will take root someday, showing his love. It's a way that we live out loving our neighbors. There have been times that I did follow God's prompting. He's allowed me to see someone in need. It usually was a ride that they needed, or help with a flat tire, or a tow for their vehicle, or getting unstuck out of a snowbank, or a ditch. They were encouraged and blessed. It met their need practically. They needed help. They needed someone. Helping others has not resulted in any earthly reward for me. In fact, it usually costs something. It's taken my time or money. So, we need to frame that. We need to know helping someone will cost you something. You will have to sacrifice. Is this why we have a hard time? Because we know it'll take something from us? I can get excited because I think it's the reason that God says there's a reward for helping others. Because he knows that we're not getting compensated for it. And he says, I'll make it right at the resurrection. When I come again, I will reward you for your faithfulness, for the way you've loved your neighbors. Just keep loving, keep giving, keep serving. What you've done for the least of these, Matthew 25, you've done for me. Helping people, obeying God's command by loving your neighbor is a way for us to store up treasures in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I think we have a strong culture of our family and our church that it's a block that we think others also should have friends and family and community that support them. And so we back off and say, somebody else will step up. I know what I have, if I have a need, and who I will call. Or maybe we expect the state needs to help. I believe it is the church's opportunity. God has given, he says, the poor you'll have always with you. There's always an opportunity. Our neighbors are the ones that we choose to help. James 1:27 says, pure religion before God and the Father is this, to visit fathers, the fatherless, and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Had to think of Rahab and Ruth. Amazing stories of foreigners, women, whom God's people showed love to. These ladies were brought in. Amazing. Ruth listed in the genealogy of Christ. An outsider, but she was showing love. She was brought in. She was accepted. She chose to serve the living God. Maybe your love and my love for our neighbors will have significant eternal impact as well. How does God want us to love? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to use this in our conclusion. Powerful passage. First of all, we love because God is love. It's his character. God loves us. God's Spirit in us prompts us, commands us to love others. It's in our spiritual DNA. If God is love and he's in us, we're new in him. I believe it's wired into us, the Spirit of God in us, part of our DNA, part of our new DNA as believers, that we too love others. Let's read through this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. I want to stop there just for a second, because I don't want us to be convicted that we need to do more, right? Look at what this says. You can do more and still miss it. You have to have love. You have to have love, or it profits you nothing. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I am known. Now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Thank you, Jason, for what you shared this morning, the work of the Spirit in us. This type of love, loving our neighbors, I believe is only possible as the Spirit of God moves through us. I pray the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. To love with shoes on. Don't worry what others may think of us. Love like Jesus. Scriptures are filled with examples from Christ, from the disciples, of serving others, of loving others well. I encourage you to study, to look for those, and to ask God, Lord, what is it? Would you love through me to touch someone? Help me to have eyes to see, to take time to help someone in need. Why don't we have a prayer? Ask God to speak to us, to lead us. Father, we thank you for the life that you've given. Lord, that you are love. God, it is often the question that comes up, how can a loving God, and fill in the blank. But we open the pages and we see Jesus touching people, Lord, changing lives. Bringing healing, bringing salvation, bringing peace and joy. And yet Jesus isn't here among us, but your Spirit is, Lord. You've placed your Spirit here. You've given the Holy Spirit to each one who calls on you, Lord. And you've commanded us to love like Jesus did, to love our neighbors. Lord, teach us what this looks like practically, consistently, Lord. That we would truly impact our communities for Christ. They would see the good deeds and glorify the Father who is in heaven. That your name would be lifted up, Lord, as we love. Lord, we love this body. We love our brothers and sisters. There's so many different examples of serving among us, Father. We thank you for that. But teach us, Lord, to love the unlovable. Teach us, Lord, what it looks like to throw a feast for the poor, for the lame. Jesus, let your love flow through each one, Lord, here today. Throughout this week, Lord, that even as we gather back together, there'd be testimonies of the great things that God has done. Be glorified. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we pray also for our ministry that's at EBI. We just pray as they wrap up their session today and make their ways back home, Father, that you would watch over them. Their hearts would be enriched and blessed, filled. They would be ready to continue in their service. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.